Isn't it wonderful to sense that there are certain churches you can come into and you just know they've got something a little different than others, and it's called the joy of God. Amen? Well, just as we had all these different praises, different venues, different thoughts of Thanksgiving, which is really what this moment was in praising the Lord, so that's what Easter is. There are so many things that we can consider when it comes to this wonderful supernatural event that took place. And yet, if we were to take a poll, especially concerning God's people, people who are used to going to church, if I were to ask for you to describe Easter with just one word, what do you think the number one word would be? Amen. Resurrection. Resurrection. Hallelujah. For some, if not many, as they contemplate that word, they can't help but begin to have within them a stirring of thankfulness, pure thankfulness. And why? It's because they know it is because of the resurrection that their sin will not conquer them, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ conquered their sin. Amen? Because of that, we can have peace with God instead of one day trembling in fear when our lives come to an end. For those who understand what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is about, while we're living day by day, serenity can begin to rule their spirit between them and God. A serenity that begins to bloom and to grow into joy. A sweet joy that begins to captivate our souls. And the reason why is because they can't help but find this emotion being birthed, because they have personally experienced the resurrection. Because they have personally experienced the resurrection, they know what it means when they hear the words that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, died for our sins. They know what the resurrection from the dead means because they themselves have experienced a resurrection themselves. Amen? Oh, if you cannot bear witness to that, please hear me. If there isn't something that just kind of resounds within your spirit, where it begins to take a hold of your heart in a way where you find yourself beginning to vibrate with joy, then you've missed not only the greatest event that ever took place in history, you've missed what is meant to be the greatest event of your soul. And oh, how I pray that for those who may not know or fully understand that, may know it and understand it before we're done today. But how does this all become a reality? It becomes a reality with a right understanding of knowing that revolving around this word resurrection is this word called war. Yes, war. A war that entailed an epic battle for your soul. That's why I've titled this message, Easter, A Battle for Your Soul. That is what Easter is about. A battle that involves two generals. One general who is a ruler of darkness and has a kingdom of darkness. And then the other general who has a kingdom of light. In fact, it's pure light. A kingdom that is filled with so much light that the Bible seems to make clear to us a day is coming that if you make it and become a part of that kingdom, you yourselves are going to be able to glow with a kingdom light of God. There seems to be a couple places that make reference to this, hint to this, indicate this. One of them is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. If we could bring that scripture up. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. I want to take a moment and just consider this verse. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You see that part that says the Lord God will give them light? There's a strong argument that can be made that what that is talking about is not just give them the light of God concerning their understanding, but give them the light of God where it ends up shining out of them. Isn't that a thought? Look at the way the New American Standard Version translates this. If we could bring that up, please. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have any need of the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will what? Think about that. Illumine them. What is that telling us? It's telling us that when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's going to be filled with so much light that even God's people are going to glow with the light of God. Christ will illumine them. And should that be too difficult to believe, since we know that angels can glow with the light of God? And yet there's another place in the Bible that makes this even clearer, directly tied in with the subject of resurrection. It's found in the Old Testament. Daniel the prophet. Daniel chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 2 through 4. Again, keep in mind, this is talking about the end times of what's going to happen. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up the seal and the words of the scroll until the time of the end. When verse 2 says that those who are in the dust of the earth will awake, what's that talking about? It's talking about another resurrection to come. It's talking about our resurrection to come. And it says that those who awake, they will awake to what? Eternal what? Eternal life. Should that not stir you concerning the goodness of God, the greatness of God, concerning the things that he has for you to come and when he returns? Verse 3 says, we will shine with the brightness of heaven and shine forth with the stars. That is a part of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is about for those who have him. When Christ rose from the dead, he did not rise just for himself. He rose for us so that one day when we rise from the dead, we can experience the light of God emanating out of us, illuminating us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 describes God this way. It says that God is light. If God is light and we are his offspring, should it not reason that we will one day shine with the light of God? Amen? But you might have noticed in our text, in verse 2, it actually speaks of two resurrections. One for those who make it and one for those who won't. You see, verse 2 points out that for some, that day will not be a day where they will experience the light of God. Instead, for some, they will experience the darkness of hell and experience it for an eternity. It tells us that when that day comes, some are going to rise up and they're going to experience what? Shame. They're going to experience contempt, as in guilt for their sin. They will be held accountable for their sin. What is it that makes the difference between these two? What makes the difference between two is that some have allowed Jesus Christ to win the battle for their soul, while others have not. Those who have allowed Jesus Christ to win the battle for their souls are the ones who have said to him, Lord Jesus, just as you gave your all for me on the cross, I in turn will now give all my all to you. Just as you gave your all to me on the cross, I'm going to give you all my life, not part of my life. And the question becomes, which of the two will you be? It will depend on whether you have truly given all of your heart to God. God's not interested in a Christianity that is half-hearted. You see, some are in love with the world. And then there are those who are in love with God. In love with God because they are so thankful that He died for them on a cross. They love God. Because they love God, they've learned to always be in the practice of making Him first in their life. It's one of the reasons why, for some, coming to church such as today is so important. It's not because anyone has to. It's because they want to, because they love this Savior who died for them. They have learned that it is important to God personally that we make Him our first love. And so they are in the practice of making sure that they're putting Him first, putting aside anything the world tries to put in front of Him, because they don't want to keep Jesus in second place. They understand, such as in Revelations, where He told one church, you need to make sure you keep me as your first love. To keep me as your second love for the Lord is like keeping Him in last place. He deserves nothing but first place. Amen? Why do they do this? It's because they understand that He's won the battle for their souls and He is worthy. They understand that when Jesus Christ was whipped, there was hooks on the end of that whip. And when it caught His back, it dug in. And when they pulled, out came part of the flesh of His back. Why? It was a part of the battle so He could win their soul. They understand that when they spit in the face of Jesus, when they grabbed His beard, as it tells us in Isaiah, and ripped it from His face, He endured it. Because it was a part of the battle in winning our souls. They understand the reason why He never called on 12 legions of angels to rescue Him. It was because it was a part of the battle to win their soul. Imagine, Jesus told someone specifically who was trying to rescue Him, stop. Do you not understand that I could call 12 legions? A legion consisted of about 5,000 Roman soldiers. And so what Jesus was telling this man was plainly, look, I could call on the Father, and in an instant, if I want, I could have 60,000 angels at my disposal to rescue me. But why didn't He? Because it was a part of the battle in winning our souls for Himself. There's a consequence of that. The grave will not be able to hold us. Is a consequence of that. Death will never be able to rule over us. Is a consequence of His dying for us. Hell will have no claim on us. Amen? This fight has been going on for a long time for the souls of men and women. In fact, these two generals have been fighting so that this world would become their kingdom. And when I say from the very beginning, I mean this fight has been going on from the time of Adam and Eve, where the general of darkness infiltrated the Garden of Eden. And he came in disguise. Kind of like Halloween, he wore this mask, and that mask was in the form of a serpent because he knew he couldn't reveal his real face lest Eve know who he was. And as we know, he got them. He got them both. He got Adam and Eve. to fall. And as a consequence of that, the entire world fell into his hands. This is why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. This is why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that he is the prince and the power of the air. This is why Jesus said in John 14, 30, Satan is the prince of this world. The general of darkness has taken over this world, and this is why recently we have the most wicked of wicked things unfold, such as some states approving of abortion even after the baby is born. This world is in the hands of Satan. But in the midst of all of this, there is some good news for us. And that is this: his reign is going to come to an end. Amen. His reign is going to come to an end. One of the things that has proved is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, up to this point, Satan had a certain stranglehold over the people of this world. A stranglehold that is revealed in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. I'm going to break it down a little bit, so don't let me lose you. I'm going to break it down a little bit into sections. Let's start by reading. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, stop. Who's that talking about? The children share in flesh and blood. It's talking about God's children. Some might say it's talking about the people of this world. We're not made of spirit, but flesh and blood. Next one. It's capitalized. It says, he himself, stop. Who is that? That's right, Jesus. He himself took on flesh, took on blood. Why? Why did he do that? So that he might be able to die. That's why he became a human. He became a human at the incarnation. Mary conceived and gave birth. He took on flesh and blood. And according to this verse, it clearly makes it clear. It was so that he could die. And for this purpose, by dying for us, we might be set free from the power of death that is in the hands of who? The devil. Keep in mind, there are once again two categories that should be considered here. Some who have had the power of death rendered powerless. It no longer hangs over them in fear. And then there are others who have never experienced the power of death being rendered powerless. This week, emailed someone trying to get a hold of him, has an incredible story about the devil and the power of death and the fear of death that he hangs over people. He was a prison guard of a huge prison, had about 3,000 inmates in it in West Virginia. He shares that one day, while he was on call, they needed him to come to the hospital area of the prison because there was an inmate that was dying of a heart attack. He said the hospital and the prison is very limited as far as its resources, and they had to take him to a local hospital. A part of his job was to make sure that the public was safe whenever an inmate would be transported, whenever an inmate would go outside those prison walls. And so what this meant was, although this man was dying of a heart attack, there would have to be a delay because he would first have to inspect him, such as to make sure there was nothing in his ear, in his hair, or even in his mouth that might aid an escape. Because many times these types of things would be a ploy. They would even sometimes call people on the outside, say, I'm going to fake I'm dying. And then he would tell them, I'm going to be transported by ambulance. And then then his friends would come, stop the ambulance, and he'd be able to escape. So there was a delay. But they finally get him to the hospital. And when they get him to the hospital, they work on him for an hour. But he ends up dying. Even though he's dead, this correction officer still has to watch over his body. And so they put him on a gurney, roll him into a room. And while this officer is sitting next to this dead body, he starts contemplating, I just was talking to this man just a few moments ago. He doesn't explain why, but while he's sitting in this room with this dead body on a gurney, he didn't turn the light on. It appears there was just enough light coming in where it wasn't exactly pitch dark where he could see, at least to some degree. But he said as he was sitting down thinking about this, this fluorescent light above him began to suddenly flicker as if somehow it was starting to get some power, beginning to buzz. And then he said, suddenly he saw movement out of the right side of his, out of his corner of his eye on the right side, and he turned. And as he turned, he said, I saw a dark apparition. He said it was huge. He said it scared him so much, he jumped out of the chair, started reaching for his gun. He said it literally scared the, well, you know, out of him. Since I've been minister here, you know what I'm amazed at? I am amazed how many times I've had people either call me or come to my office because they're trying to get rid of a dark apparition out of their house. These things are real. Demons are real. They are alive and well. And one of the things they want to do is keep people's souls in the fear of death. But I share this story as an example that the power of death by way of the devil has not been rendered powerless for everyone. He said this was the creepiest part of this whole ordeal. When this huge apparition in a human form came and reached the side of this dead inmate, that he literally heard the words, no, 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 I don't want to go. Jesus Christ has offered himself up on a cross to render the fear of death for you powerless, so that when you die, the devil will have no right and no claim to ever come to your side. Amen? We want to keep in mind that when this scripture was written, it was written in a time in which there was slaves, and that's how come this word slaved, enslaved, is involved in this. What had happened was during this time in which the gospel of Jesus Christ was being pronounced, some were going to be put to death if they did not bow the knee to Caesar by calling him God. But because of the resurrection, many of these Christians were starting to have a boldness that was never seen before. And that boldness rendered the fear of death from the devil powerless. And they were willing to accept death because of the resurrection of Christ. There were Christians who had a boldness where now they would share like never before the gospel message, even if it might cost them their life. Because they knew if they died, they would resurrect like their Savior who resurrected from the dead. Because they had him right here. For whom does this become a reality where you can walk around with an assurance if you die, you'll go to heaven? If you die, you don't have to worry about Satan making a claim on your soul. Who are these who know that death will not rule over them should they die? Who are these who know that hell will have no claim upon their soul ever? It's those who've made up their mind to let Jesus win the battle for their soul. And they've called on him to be their Savior. Jesus Christ died that we could be free from the fear of death, free from the power of the devil. The power of the gospel went forth because many of these people knew when they die, they're going to heaven. It's so sad that there are some who live their entire life never knowing, never fully understanding that you can have an absolute assurance that if you died now that you'll go to heaven. Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross so we would one day grovel in fear on a deathbed hoping that we make it. That's not Jesus. He died so that we would know that we have the assurance of heaven now. And the beautiful thing about God is he doesn't leave it up to some just academic understanding where we have to just try and claim it all on our own. Oh no. What Jesus Christ does is for those who really call on him, for those who want to be all in with him, he gives them something called the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit comes into our heart, and it tells us in 1 John that his Spirit bears witness with what? Amen. Isn't that a precious thing to know? Isn't that a precious thing to experience? That's how come there are some at the name of Jesus. It is real inside of them, where they glorify him and they honor him and they truly have joy and they're so thankful and they just want to worship and adore him. It's because a part of what the resurrection caused or allowed to be able to take place is not only for the love of God to be flooded into our soul, but for a piece of the God, a piece of his divine nature to be put in our being called his Holy Spirit. That is a precious God, amen? This resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as it was at work in the early church, is still at work today. This power that renders the fear of death powerless. We sometimes see it in Christians in the Middle East who are being put to death at the hands of ISIS, where they are told, you will renounce your Christ and you will acknowledge Allah. And they won't, many of them won't do it because they have the resurrected Christ. They know when they die, they'll be in the hands of their God. Missionaries have also attested to this, where they have literally experienced under the duress of death, finding something inside of them beginning to well up, where they have this supreme confidence. And they realize it's coming from Christ. There's a gentleman named Dan Bauman. If we can, let's bring him up. This is a guy who has a zeal, a heart for Jesus. I don't mean for it to play. If we could just... I was hoping we'd just bring a picture of him. All right, just leave that. Testimony of this man, where he and a friend of his decided, let's go to Iran. Let's share the gospel. You don't do something like that unless your Jesus is real, because you know it could end up costing you your life in Iran. But they took that chance. They waited in Iran and they witnessed and they witnessed and they witnessed and everything looked good up until the last day. They reached the border, and when their passports, when they were asked to hand over their passports, there was a delay that lasted for hours. And finally the guards at the border said, you're under arrest. They put him in cuffs, took him back to a prison, and they beat him for 6 hours, him and his friend. He said the interrogation room was murky, it was dark, and it was stained with blood. As this continued day after day, he said, truthfully, in my heart, I began to lose hope. He said he even began to contemplate suicide. But one day something happened. He said his cell suddenly became filled with light. And guess who was present? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ let him know that although there was going to be some suffering, it was going to be okay. And so Dan endured, and he endured, and he endured. He made up his mind that he was going to love not only his captors, but he was going to love those who were beating him. And then one day, he said, three guards standing a little distance from his cell, but he could hear them talking. And one of them said, these foreigners, meaning him and his friend, they knew things like this could happen, but they have purpose. They have a reason to live and they have a reason to die. And you know what these guards said? That's what I want. And they said, as of today, we too are going to follow Jesus. Now, although these guards didn't see the Jesus in his cell that this Dan Bauman saw, they did see something else. What was it that they saw? They saw that the fear of death had become powerless inside of these two Christians. It didn't have that stranglehold on these Christians like it did over them. The devil had been rendered powerless. Why? Because Christians have a resurrected Christ. That's why. Amen. I close with a simple question, and that is this. When it's time for you to die, when your day of death comes, whether it be by accident, whether it be by old age, whether it be by the hands of an enemy, or perhaps even at the return of Christ, will the fear of death for you have been rendered powerless? On that day, will you fear, as you know, you're about to be held accountable for your sin? Or will you rejoice because your Savior is here? Which of the two will you be? It will depend on this. It will depend on whether you let Jesus win the battle for your soul. Which is it for you? If you don't have that assurance, you can have it today. The Bible tells us that our God is a God who cannot lie. He is the author of eternal life and he is the finisher of eternal life. And it is as simple as this. It is for whosoever will. Will you call on him this morning? Will you cry out to him and say, Lord, I get it. There was a battle for my soul. I'm all in. I'm all yours. I give you my all, just as you gave me your all. Be my Savior. If you do that, I can assure you, you will find that Jesus will bear witness by way of his Spirit with your spirit. But you've got to make sure you're willing to give him your all. Jesus Christ was called King of the Jews. You need to let him become King of your life. If you'll do that, you'll find he'll also be the one who can render powerless the fear of death that it will never one day hang over you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Lord, that you came to render powerless the fear of death, and in so doing so, you rendered powerless the devil. And Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord God, for the death of Jesus who died for our sins that we might not have to die for our sins. But we thank you, Lord, even more that Jesus rose from the dead. And in so doing, he conquered sin for us so that our sin will not be able to defeat us because Jesus defeated sin at the cross. We cry out to you, Lord God. And if you're here this morning, if you've never prayed, Lord, I call on you to be my Savior, do it now. Say, Lord Jesus, I call on you to be mine. I'm all in. I will follow you. And I thank you for the cross, but I also thank you for your resurrection. For your resurrection will one day be mine. And because of it, I will walk with the light of your kingdom. And I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.